Today's episode of the Open Mic Podcast is brought to you by Uber. Uber is probably one of my most favorite apps that I use on my entire phone. I take advantage of it constantly when I don't feel like driving. And with the holidays literally just around the corner, you don't want to be hopping in the car and driving off, especially if you've been tipping back and having some of that holiday cheer. It's very easy to use. All you have to go is to your app store, download the app, put in a credit card or a debit card, and off you go. Now, you're probably thinking to yourself, Brett, I don't want to be spending any extra money, especially around the holidays. I just spent a ton of money on gifts. Well, guess what? I have an early Christmas present for you. If you use promo code BRETTM9732UE, that's BRETTM9732UE, your first ride is on me. Have a happy and enjoyable holiday season. Hey, Open Mic Podcast listeners. Want to share your opinions, give me feedback, or tell me what you're thinking? If you do, send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio that might end up in future episodes of the podcast. They're the latest feature from Anchor, the platform that I use to make this show. Here are some things that I would love to hear from you. What questions do you have for me? What did you think of the episode? What did you think of the topic? Who should I interview next? Make up a theme song. I don't know. Do your best impression of me. I'll see all of your messages, and I might add them into a future episode. Anchor makes that part super easy. You can send me a voice message right now from wherever you're at, wherever you're listening. Just tap the link in my show notes, and I can't wait to hear from you. Again, thanks for listening to the Open Mic Podcast. Until next time, cheers, and be well, and enjoy today's episode. Hey, Eric, welcome to the podcast. How are you, buddy?
I'm great. Which podcast, man?
Oh, yeah. So, well, Unstructured, your show, okay. And then the Open Mic Podcast. I don't know what you call this. Is this an audio swap or what is this thing?
I guess you call it audio swap. Now, you are Brett Allen, just so everybody knows on the Unstructured side.
Yes. And yeah. You are Eric Hundley from Unstructured. And we've been on both of each other's show. But you just hit a milestone, right? 100 episodes.
I did. I'm still tracking behind you, though. You're ahead of the game.
Well, so first of all, how does it feel to have done 100 shows? Did you think you would make it that far?
Yes, but I didn't figure I'd make it within 9 months.
Okay.
I kind of got 2 years, but things got accelerated.
Okay. So how did they get accelerated?
Essentially got accelerated because I had interviews that were in the can, and I hate having things sitting around aging.
Okay.
It may seem weird, but a lot of this was spurred on because of podcast movement. I was starting to do a second show a week already called An Addendum, which was just kind of like answering questions of the people. But I wound up having a bunch of interviews, and then I almost had like a glut. Then I'm interviewing people, and we're referencing podcast movement, which took place in July. And I'm thinking, well, this doesn't come out until October. It's going to sound weird talking about July.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started to pump them out. And another reason that I don't like them to age too much is, quite frankly, what if I'm really screwing something up and it irritates people? I'd rather hear about it sooner.
Yes, that is true. I haven't had that yet so far. I don't think you have either, but that's a good way to play things, right? Well, because there's always those people that you talk to and you go, I wonder how they're going to respond to this when it goes up. Have you had a guest so far tell you that's not what I expected, or it was a little bit different than what I anticipated?
Only in a good way.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I have had guests say that they really like how it came out, or they weren't sure what it's going to be, and it came out better than they expected, or they were surprised.
So they're shocked that it sounded good. Okay, I guess that's a good compliment, I suppose.
Oh, that's what I suffer with this show, and you probably have it too. I have to beat the bushes and beg and plead to get people to listen, and then they do. And the reaction usually is, yeah, I listened to it. It's actually pretty good.
Surprisingly. Well, I was actually listening to, that's hilarious, your interview with Jordan Harbinger that you did, which was probably one of my favorites, because I got an email from his booking agent, which is his wife, Jen, I think. Mm-hmm. And they were wanting to schedule something for February already. So I was like, okay.
Cool.
Yeah, but I wanted to listen to your interview again because I had a panic attack when I got the email. I was like, oh no, so this is really happening. And he had a lot of good things to say about your interviewing skills, which I think is true. Mm. Do you remember that? He commented, you had told him you'd only been doing, at that time you had started in March. Mm-hmm. And he said he thought you had been doing it a lot longer and was impressed with your style and approach. Do you remember that conversation?
Not that part, but then okay. I don't know why I get really shy about something.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, my point in all of this is that it's not a surprise that people enjoy your style and your show because you do really well. So that's awesome. And you're 100 episodes in now. So if there was something that, and I was going to say, I get the email. The one that makes me nervous is, you know, well, I want to listen to it first. And then if I like it, I'll share it. Sure. I've gotten that twice now. So, and both times they wound up getting shared, which was great. But I do have that fear that one day that somebody will say, I don't want you to air that episode or something crazy. I've never had anybody ask me that question. Can I hear it first? Mm-hmm. But I was reading a thread on one of those Facebook groups for podcasting, and they had said that they had a guest that wanted to hear the episode first. And so I chimed in and made a comment on how to help them. And then it turned into a big, huge thread. if it was right or wrong or not to do that, which I kind of regretted at that point. So I deleted all my comments because I was tired of getting notifications about this argument that was going on. Anyway, I'm trailing off here, but the point is, you've done 100 episodes. When you look back on it, is there anything that you would have done differently when you go through your interviews? Have you gone through your catalog and listened to some of the people you've talked to?
You know, I hope to do that now more. I truthfully haven't had time. Mm-hmm. I've been so focused on just getting them done, getting them out, getting the Facebook post out, the Instagram post out, all that stuff. Haven't had much time to sit and savor. And that is something that I kind of plan to do now, is slow down mm-hmm. a bit. I figure that now that I have 100 in the can plus, then people can't say that I'm a fly by night thing.
Sure.
So
sure.
If I go back to twice a week or even once a week, I'm still consistent. I'm still weekly, but mm-hmm. that can give me a little bit more time to focus on the episodes. I have some really strong guests coming up, and I'm taking a slight turn in the in my style.
Like, what does that mean? You're taking a slight turn. What are you going to do different?
I don't know if you've noticed lately, I've been interviewing a lot more in terms of people who are either an influence. Chase Hughes would fall in that category. Body language experts.
Your FBI people. Yeah.
FBI people for some crime. I have Dr. I've got Robert King coming up again.
And okay.
He writes a whole psychology column, so a lot of psychology going into there. But I also have some other guests coming up, like someone who reached out to me who essentially wrote a book stating that O.J. Simpson did not himself
kill okay.
Nicole Brown Simpson.
So you got in contact with that person. Oh, I want to talk about that when you're done with your answer. Because now I'm curious. So for those listening, this is going to be a lot of shop talk, but Eric and I have become really good friends virtually. We've not met in person. I think hopefully one of these days we'll be able to meet up, maybe at Podcast Movement or something. But Eric and I have been basically each other's producers, I guess, to an extent. I always run crazy harebrained ideas past him. I have ADD, so obviously if I want to make a major change, I'll text him and say, hey, is this a good idea? And he'll always ask me the why. But he was telling me about this other guest, and I want to talk about that because I'm curious about that now that you told me you got connected. But anyway, continue on. You're going through your list here.
Right. So I have that coming up, and I just think that's a fascinating story. And a lot of people will probably be interested in that. It involves another serial killer who is known and was caught. Anyway, pretty exciting stuff. Mm-hmm. Then I was looking around on LinkedIn, and somebody had liked one of my posts or comments or something. And I look up people who like my stuff. If anybody comments, I'm going to look them up. I'm going to answer. Really want to, you know, get to know everybody that I can. And
that's good.
When I looked her up, I was like, what? A model, private investigator, a fugitive decoy. And I was like, oh, there's got to be something here. I mean, you're like, okay, a model and a PI. That just set my imagination going. So
sure.
I'm like, okay, well, she's got to use beauty to entrap people. There's got to be some really cool angles to check out. So I talked to her and, you know, reached out to her. She's thrilled with the idea. And then she gets back to me. She goes, so what did you want to talk about? My life story or how my father was murdered or my uncle being an assassin, hitman? And I'm like, wow. Whoa, what in the hell? So it's like, there's probably three episodes there because there's these major storylines and completely fascinating stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the turn. I still plan to interview the Haley Grips and other inspirational people, but the focus I think is going to be kind of on, I guess, if you will, communication, manipulation, sure, crime. And marketing can fall under communication manipulation too.
Yeah, I think you've done really well with all of those topics. And those FBI folks are definitely interesting for sure as far as what they have to say. And yeah, I like it. I think it's awesome. So good things are coming for your show for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And it's funny because I've wanted to do a whole lot of pop culture and things like that, but you have helped teach me about that.
I don't know. I find that stuff so interesting. And I think what it is, it's a different lifestyle than you and I probably will ever have. And even having a little bit of a background in that area, mm-hmm, I still find it interesting what these people have to say and sort of just what their life is like, because it's so different than anything you and I think would ever experience, right?
Oh, I agree. But what I'm saying is you've actually taught me in the sense that how many times have we gone through the routine where you'll say, I booked blah, blah, blah. What
is the answer? Who?
Exactly. And so that's, I'm going, true, how can I really worry about doing pop culture if my exposure to it is very thin?
Sure. Yeah.
So I kind of feel like maybe I'm really not qualified to do it. And the guests who are agreeing are the ones who should say yes. I think it was, I don't know, might have been Cal Fussman or somebody. It was Randy Jones.
Yes.
I believe you found through me. But yes, he pointed out, one thing he said that I really like was that people who say yes were the ones who should say yes.
Yeah, I think that's really valid. And, you know, I don't know, I probably send out 5 or 6 emails a day to people that I'm interested in. And a lot of times I won't even get a response back. Oh, yeah. And I've gotten used to that at this point. At first, or even I've gotten some really solid no's lately for a couple people. And I used to get a little bit offended by that because I'd be like, well, why are they saying no? I've had this great people, but I think your point is great. Like Randall said, you know, some people just, maybe it's not meant to be as far as who is coming on or who wants to come on. And I don't know, I guess what, we continue to take the big swings and then see what happens. Are you just going to completely narrow out pop culture now, or are you going to maybe just kind of be a little bit more discreet about who you reach out to that you might have a connection with?
I'm not going to chase it too hard.
Sure.
Like I may, I have a soft introduction to a showrunner for a upcoming ABC series, which okay. is based off of one of the FBI connections.
Okay, you're one of your recent interviews, right?
Right, right. I don't know. You know, the intro has happened, but we'll see. You know how this goes.
Oh yeah.
There's a courtship.
The courtship. Yeah. No, I know.
And speaking of FBI, I hope I've been in contact with him and his assistant, but I'm hoping to have Chris Voss on.
Oh wow. Okay. That's a big swing.
So I'm really looking forward to that. Again, negotiation. See, these all are kind of falling together in a fashion.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully Joe Navarro.
Oh, okay. Wow. So you're stocked up. Have you actually started booking people for January yet? Or are you just kind of waiting to see what happens?
I have Robert King again tomorrow, Chase finally on Friday, hopefully. And Chase may come on more than one time. Chase has a lot of subjects to cover.
Sure.
And I've listened to, I think, every episode he's been on from everybody. And I thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, he was great. Chase was awesome. Chase, if you're listening, yes.
What's funny, because Chase, I would not have come across if it wasn't for you, because I've been studying hard on Jordan and a lot of his episodes, but mostly on him and feedback.
Sure.
Things and certain episodes, but the Chase Hughes, it didn't mean anything to me. And then you said, hey, I'm getting this guy Chase Hughes on. I was like, okay, let me listen. I'm like, oh, wow, I'm totally into that stuff.
Yeah, and he reached out to me on LinkedIn like a while ago, and we were never able to work anything out. And then just as I got a confirmation from him, he he had an interview with Jordan Harbinger. And I was like, ugh, now I have to talk to this guy who just came on Jordan's show. And I was really nerve-wracked at that point, because I was like, oh no, you know. But I guess it turns out were friends, and they had had a couple interactions before. He's been with Jordan on other stuff. I think you told me that, actually. And I was like, I felt less threatened in that my show didn't get Jurassic Parked, because they had nothing to say about Jordan, but just in the fact that, you know, he's a big guy and he's already got his feelers out for so many people.
Sure.
And so Chase had already agreed. Obviously, they had done a few shows together, right? The Art of Charm, maybe, and some other stuff. So it was cool, but I don't know. I feel like I bring a different flavor to these kinds of interviews, especially people like that, and just try and approach it more from like a student peer or a student teacher perspective, right? Versus, you know, a peer. Even though I was in the military, what I did was nothing compared to what he did. So it was more of a curiosity thing on that interview than anything else. So it should be a fun one for me. Do you have kind of an approach yet of what you want to do with him, or are you still working on that?
Really, he's been focusing on, I hate to say that there's a rhythm in the talking points.
Sure.
I want to break out of that. And you know that's kind of my MO.
It is.
So I have a can opening question that I'm going to send his way. I've already told him. He said he hadn't heard it before. So
that's good. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
And it'll be fun. I mean, I see a lot coming out of him, because one, he's an amalgamation. I don't know what you'd say of multiple fronts. He was a pickup artist and kind of moved away from that. And I've gotten a vibe that he can't stand them either. I'm not really fond of the pickup world.
Sure.
And then he shifted into just straight out manipulation, but then also protection and crime, like, you know, dealing with the cops, how to save your life, how to read people that are going to attack you. Are their nostrils going to splay, you know, for ventilation before they hit you?
Uh-huh.
So all of these things are different subjects. So I can almost see us going down a rabbit hole of just protecting yourself in one episode and how to interrogate. And then another one, how to influence people and how to essentially, and I think you said it on your show, get your shit together so people will actually follow you. And I like that principle.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I found to be so interesting about him, was I did touch on the police thing a little bit, and I found that interesting, as well as, you know, in the workplace. And I think he said something about, you know, if you can't hang up your clothes, if you can't make your bed, mm-hmm. you know, every little detail of that counts. And I think that's, we got into a little bit of a discussion off air about, you know, why in basic training they have you, you know, fold your underwear in 6-inch squares, your t-shirts, you know, and 12s and all of that. And that's attention to detail. So yeah, sure. I'm excited to hear about that interview. It'll be good. So you're going to release it quick? You'll probably wait till New Year's, huh? After the New Year?
No. It actually will probably be released last episode of the year.
Okay. Yeah, so that's
good. I like
good.
To release the, I hate to say biggest, but I'm going to say that's most well-known guests.
Sure.
Sunday night to Monday morning.
Okay.
And part of the reason, too, I want to maybe slow down as well is I feel like I'm releasing so many that there are people who are probably skipping episodes just simply because they can't keep up.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had that conversation before.
And I really want them to be able to enjoy the episode. And that also gives me a little bit more time to put the effort
sure.
into it or research, because with Chase, you know how I research. And I have a lot of hours in him.
That's good. That's good. So what, one episode a week then? Is that kind of your...
I'd like to say one guaranteed.
Okay.
Probably two.
Okay.
If I can get enough of a flow with, let's say, my Facebook group, if it grows more and I can get more constant feedback, I'd love to. Let me steal it straight from Jordan Harbinger. Do a Feedback Friday type of thing.
Okay. That's good. I like that because it kind of goes over everything that he's talked about. Yeah, I think I'm the one I just released yesterday. That'll be it for me until after the new year. So, okay. Yeah. So, except for this one. Well, this one I'll release probably maybe New Year's Day. I think we can do that or whenever we can agree to do it. But in any case, I have one interview tomorrow. And then one on Friday, and then that one I've been working on for a while. It's just been, she's a model. And so she's been working and we've been playing tag as far as her PR and I person have been going back and forth. And then last week I had some work stuff come up because my son, I found out he didn't have school. So I got him way earlier than expected. So that one's in the can. And then I still have a couple others that I have to release. that I haven't yet because they are going to require some extra work on audio. So one of them I might actually send to somebody and have them do because I can't fix it. So, there's just a lot of background noise going in between. It's only like a 20-minute interview, but with all the extra stuff, it's turned out to be like 35 minutes because of all the long pauses and stuff.
So, try Hindenburg for that.
Yeah, I'll try it. Like, it was just, they were in somewhere and they were people in the background talking and laughing. I could hear all of that going on. And so I've released all the other episodes that she's pitched me. So I have to figure that out. But
is this Kelly K?
Yeah, Kelly K. Yeah. And she's great too. Actually, I'm trying to get her on herself. Because she's got a really cool story as well. She's a former reality TV person turned publicist. Yeah. So we'll see. And then I've got a couple other people that I had to reschedule because of childcare stuff from another agency. So January is filling up already pretty fast.
Well, you've got them definitely lined up. Ironically, that's one thing that I have to work on is I think I'm going to have to start saying no.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that point yet. I guess my thing is I just start scrolling through socials and just what others people are posting. Mm-hmm. And I go, ooh, that person would be cool to have on. And then there's the other person that we talked about, the assistant to the main guy. I don't want to mention their name, but sure. I pitched her and haven't heard anything back yet. So I couldn't find how to get in touch with her. And then I thought, oh, wait, she answers that person's email. So I'll just pitch her that way. One that Laura interviewed.
Right. I'd recommend going to her site. There's contact there, I think.
Yeah, I did that as well. So we'll see how it turns out. But I'm excited. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Anything else planned that you're going to do differently this year, next year?
One, I'll try not to take audio for granted. I think I told you offline my nightmare story with Mark Bowden, which is one of my favorite interviews.
Uh-huh.
But the sound was just awful.
Okay.
And I went through a ton of work, hours, and a couple $100s. Buying plugins and everything else to get it to the quality it is, which I think it's at least understandable, and he sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
But lesson learned on that one. I was having problems with the tool I use, Squadcast, and I wasn't sure if it was because my Mac had too much garbage on it or whatever, so I decided to rebuild the whole thing.
Okay.
Turns out that I was just a problem child because I have so many recordings of Squadcast that the huge catalog had been causing problems. So they reshifted the way they were doing it. I did not know that.
Interesting.
But when I rebuilt the Mac, I had it set for just standard settings and energy saver.
Interesting.
So what would happen is it would put the hard drive and the computer to sleep, etc. And my Scarlett is powered off of USB.
Okay.
And I come in here at the last minute to do the recording with Mark, and computer's up, but oh shoot, the Scarlett's not up. Oh my God. My mic. What? Twist, knob, over. Let me unplug the USB. Let me plug it back in. Oh, it's lit. Okay, good. Let's go. Well, in my knob turning, I had the gain turned up way high. So essentially it sounded like I was in a bathroom echoing on myself.
But she turned out really well, I think.
Well, I hope everybody has your ears then. it was a complete nightmare, and it's so frustrating. It seems like, the biggest interviews are the ones that, you flub something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like my interview with another producer of a really big podcast that I lost the audio on completely.
Which maybe is still out there somewhere.
Maybe. I don't know how to find it, but I'm going to reach out to that person again and see if I can talk them into coming back on. I don't know that I'll be able to, but
especially
I was really bummed about
it to begin with.
Yeah, he was already cagey about coming on, and I convinced him to come on. And then, I don't know. That was a real bummer. I have a feeling that's going to come back to haunt me again somehow. Especially when I would wind up getting Jordan on. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know where it is. It's out in the ether somewhere. I have no idea.
I'm going to guess you used your Skype recording tool for it.
I did. I sent them an email to find out where it is, but they're a company in Germany.
I see.
So I don't know where they are. I have no idea. It has to be out there somewhere. I was really excited about that. That was like a big deal for me. And then I was like, oh, I accidentally deleted it. No idea where it is. I need to follow up on that today, because now I'm annoyed at the fact that interview never made it to air. And that was a good one too. I actually did talk to him, I swear. But I guess if there's no audio, there's no proof, right?
It's like I'm a runner. We have a popular social program called Strava. And the old joke is, if it's not in Strava, it didn't happen.
Right. If there's no pictures, it didn't happen. Right. Yep. Yeah. I was really bummed about that. I was like, because I was going through cleaning out things on my old computer and it got deleted. I was like, oh no, where did it go? And then, of course, well, that's a great thing about Squadcast is it's always there. And, you know, he's all, well, that's why we use this and not Skype. And
so you had to tell him and suffer the lecture of being incompetent. Well, it's bad because he's a podcast engineer and producer. So you're like, oh God.
Yeah. But the good thing is he has problems too. So I don't feel so bad. It took us like 10 minutes to even get things going because he was having issues with Skype. So we got it going eventually. But it was cool to talk to him nonetheless. So we'll see how it winds up.
Well, I know he uses Squadcast now.
Yeah, because of you, he even said that. He goes, yeah, I remember Eric. We use Squadcast now. He recommended us to that. They were using something else, Skype maybe, I don't know, or some other program.
Might have been Zencastr.
Zencastr, but they kept having multiple issues.
Or syncing issues.
Yes. So. Which is not good at all.
Nope.
But lesson learned.
Oh, definitely, dude. Definitely. And so how are things going? I mean, the show's growing. You're getting everybody on. Yeah.
So I just booked Dave Jackson, which I'm excited about. Cool. Thanks for that. You helped me figure that one out. He responded quite quickly. And I'm very intimidated to talk to him, but I'm excited. Well, I think it's more of like in my questionnaire. So if you're doing a podcast, you know, I have like 5 or 6 questions. And one of them is there any particular topic that you would like me to focus on? And his answer was, it's your dime. It's your hour. Make me look good. So, and then is there anything that you don't want to talk about? His response is not a fan of hidden agendas. So I don't know what that means, but.
I already told you, I think he's a fan of the show No Agenda.
Yeah.
If you've listened to it all, it's a little conspiracy oriented.
Yes.
So agenda would be a good example of a hidden agenda with Dave Jackson would be. So how about that anchor?
Yeah. Bait and switch.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on? I'm going to try and stay away from certain questions about podcasting because I'm sure not that I feel like I can do it better, but I kind of want to just try and get something out of him. Maybe that he's talked less about. Yeah.
Sure.
How do you feel about Blue Yeti microphones? You know, nothing like that. I already know how he feels about that. Cause he said that on your show.
Yeah. New and noteworthy.
Yeah. He's like, he hates that stuff. He posted something on his social media actually a couple days ago about Apple being on vacation and people's shows not getting approved.
That's true. And
he said, just relax.
No, they announced it.
Podcasting's been around since 2004. Your show will survive if it's not on Apple right now. Just give it a break. You know, or hey, what do you think about, you know, getting your show on this, go Pandora or whatever the case might be. That part makes sense. So anyway, I digress. I'm kind of ranting, but yeah, I'm excited to talk to him. And I reached out to some other people, David Meltzer, waiting to hear back. An introduction was made to Chris Pfaff, drama. So we'll see about that. I mean, you know how it goes, the courtship, we just talked about that, but yeah, I've got a few people, Interview Connections has hooked me up with a few people. So they're coming on in January right off the bat. So I'm excited about that. I'm actually interviewing one of their people tomorrow. So that will be fun. And then, yeah, just kind of taking it piece by piece, you know, and seeing what happens. This year, I really want to focus on just continuing to build a brand. That's really my big focus, is building just a sustainable brand. So when Podcast Movement comes up, if I can hopefully go, have something that's solid to present, if that makes any sense. You know, business cards and just really getting some more solid people in the stacks as far as interviews, but really just trying to focus more on analytics about my audience and what they're listening to more of. I'm slowly migrating over to Podbean, so hopefully that's going to be a hassle. I have to resubmit to every single format. So I'm going to wait till after the first of the year to do that. I've moved everything over there as far as library goes, but right. I'm still waiting to get, you know, blah, 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 and get it over there completely so I can get more specific as far as who's listening and where and what seems to be playing better versus other stuff. So,
yeah, it's a long, long game. The one thing that I've started to see happening, and I take it as a good sign, and I've read this as well, is that people are starting to say, I see you everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes so long to build that up, but I am starting to hear that more and more from different people. Like, yeah, I see your posts everywhere. I see this everywhere. I see. Yeah. It's like, okay, good. So about when I'm getting sick of something, people are finally starting to notice.
Uh-huh. That's good. That's good.
And I imagine it's the same with you that people.
Yeah. I mean, it's slowly, slowly starting to get there. I don't know, because I do an interview show basically. So there's millions of those out there. So I'm trying to figure out, that's the other thing, is more just strategy as far as how to increase listenership, however that can be done. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Podbean will help that. I mean, obviously there are, you know, I'm averaging about 250 to 300 downloads now per episode. Good. But yeah, but some others it's less. It depends on who it is, you know.
Sure.
There's some that I'm like, oh, I've got this guest, but and then it gets the least amount of listens. So
a lot of times they won't promote it.
Yeah, there's that. And just trying to figure out a way to really like convert Facebook people to listeners somehow. Mm. Just figuring out the backside of that. But you know, I enjoy doing it just because of the fact I know someone's listening. You know, even if it was just one right. person listening, that's one person. I don't know who that is. It could be anybody, but the fact that they're listening is cool. So
that's actually a goal of mine. Now that you said that, I would like to know who is.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know if, you know, how I can figure that out. So once I get everything transferred through iTunes, I can go to Podcast Connect and actually start to see more download specifics and where, excuse me, if someone's charting, if it's charting somewhere or not. But I can't do that through my current host, which will remain nameless. But they just don't they don't provide that information, which kind of is lame because I want to know. So I'm hoping once I get things moved over, I can get more specifics on that.
Actually, folks, I have a request. Please reach out to us. State yes. who you are. State if you have any ideas. You can email me at unstructuredp@gmail.com or just erichunley@gmail.com. I'm sure
or,
you can email Brett.
Yeah, openmicguest@gmail.com if you have ideas that you would like to see implemented to maybe get the show further out. It's such a mystery. I don't get it. You know, like I think Jordan said this and maybe somebody else, you know, or even Laura Peterson, it's like you're not the percentage level of you putting a show together and it just going viral is very small, if at all, mm-hmm. unless you're like a celebrity or someone else who has like a major following
right.
that can do that, you know, and bring the listenership over like the Adam Carollas or whoever, you know, that might be. It's far and few between. So just trying to, that's my to answer your question affirmatively, is try and grow, you know, and figure out how to do that the best possible way and keep the audience in mind and just try and get big guests, you know. Who knows, maybe one of them will promote it and it'll reach millions of people. I have no idea. I don't know. Probably not.
I've given up on worrying about that because I realized that if I ask them to show up at a time and do an interview and they do it, that is the only obligation that they're really.
Yeah, it really is. There's no more past that. They don't have to do squat. They don't have to promote it. They don't have to do anything if they don't want to.
Right. Realistically, they're on the show and I'm supposed to be promoting them.
But I think it helps build tenacity, right, as podcasters, because it really teaches you that it's not just to show up and record and then they're going to share it and it's going to get 20 million downloads like, you know, somebody on podcast one.
Right.
And which, by the way, I found out when I was talking to Zane is that, you know, those podcasters, they don't make any money off of being on that format. They're on there because of their download level and the fact that they do connect them with sponsors, but Podcast One makes its money off of advertising and downloads from the shows that are on there. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough. Yeah. Like the average is like 10 to 15,000 downloads per episode, kind of gets your foot in the door, right. You know, but the higher up you can go, the better chance you have of getting on there. And you have to keep those downloads going or your show can get booted. You know, it won't continue to, you know, be on anymore because they watch those numbers super close. Right. And I mean, they do get a percentage of advertising costs. It's split revenue, you know, but that also depends on, you know, if people are buying the products that they're pitching on their show.
Right. Well, that's that 1,000 true fans angle. I mean, if you have 1,000 true fans and you're producing something they like, they will support you. And
yeah,
you know, honestly, I'm not that worried about doing a Casper mattress read. I rather, and also on the promotion side of it, it helps me focus. If I'm not worried about the guests promoting, I would like them to, but I'm not going to worry about it. So now how about if I just focus on who I really want to talk to? Because I feel like I can get in a trap of saying, ooh, they're really popular. Maybe I can. And I think as soon as I start to do that, then you know what? I'm losing sight of my audience and I'm losing sight of myself.
Yeah.
And I really should just be like, oh no, I'm dying to talk to that person because, oh my God, they're so cool. Like Chris Voss. I want to talk to Chris Voss. I want to talk to Chase Hughes. I mean, the people I just named earlier, I want to know how in the hell are you going to explain away the OJ thing? You know, what am I going to tune into as a listener versus, oh, that's a person with a big following. Boy, I'd like to have them on. And that's something that I have to.
Yeah. Work on. I mean, it's easy subconsciously to do that because you might think, oh, maybe they'll promote the episode.
Sure.
Or even the ones that have smaller followings but are super popular, they don't promote it either. Or they'll maybe do like an Instagram screenshot, put it in their stories and do, you know, click here to listen or swipe up here. I have one interview that I did with Justin Peck. His agency actually has it in the bio of their Instagram. Hmm. So that's cool. And I've been getting a lot of plays on that because it's in their bio.
Sure.
So yeah. And then Kelly, who works with Jade Umbrella, they work together and they've, you know, pitched me a few more people. So we're just trying to figure out how to get them linked in, but I'm cool with people pitching me that stuff. If they want to keep pitching it, then it makes my job easier. And they're quality people, I think, you know, Interview Connections, all of those folks who are just killing it as far as production companies.
Sure.
So we're going into 45 minutes here.
Time to wrap it up.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you about the OJ guy. Did you finally get in connection with him?
Yes.
So what is that going to look like? If, I don't want to give too much away because unless it's...
I haven't interviewed him yet. I have the book. I haven't had time to read it. And I don't know that I will ahead of time. But I basically know who we said did it, what is going on. He laid it all out, and that's what we'll go over. I don't want to have any spoilers because I need people to listen.
That's awesome. That'll be good. Only you would get an interview like that.
He reached out to me, so I felt
how
really
did he
good.
Find you? How did he find you?
I'm not sure. He just said that he did when he was searching around, and I seemed like the type who would be interested in his story. And I'm like, well, actually, yes, I am.
Interesting. Well, that'll be cool. That'll be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking
that'll
forward
be good.
And I do plan to keep surprises coming.
That's good. Surprises are good. Only good surprises.
Well, this is true.
Well, Happy New Year, my friend. It's been a good you run. Too. Yeah. So, of course, if people want to listen to your show, how can they do that?
Unstructured.
Unstructured. And your show's available everywhere.
Yeah, except for Pandora.
We'll all wait for that, right? Everybody wants to be on there.
Of course.
Some people are even saying that they don't think Pandora is going to be around much longer. I don't know how true that is. Spotify is giving them a run for their money, and that's why they've expanded their market to podcasting, is because they're losing listenership.
Well, they also were bought out by Sirius.
Oh, were they really?
Yeah. So
I didn't know that.
It's really a Sirius play.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because, well, satellite's not the strongest thing out there. Mm-hmm. So Sirius has to move into it. Now, another reason that, you know, Spotify's focus on podcasts and Pandora is Spotify is smart to do podcasts. Think about it for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You get people who pay the $10 a month or whatever to subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they play music, you have to pay an artist. But if you get those same people to waste an hour or two or play a podcast for an hour or two and maybe 20 fewer songs, you're paying less royalty fees out of the money. So it's smart.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Huh. Well, we'll see what 2019 brings. And everybody who listens to my show, thank you, who follows and subscribes and joins in every day or every week whenever I decide to release an episode. I like to keep people on their toes. I say it's my last one and then I release one more. So it's like money burning a hole in your pocket.
Exactly.
And my show, The Open Mic Podcast with Brett Allen, is available everywhere as well, except Pandora, maybe one day. Or you can go to my website, theopenmicpodcast.net. And this episode that you're listening to today will probably air around New Year's-ish, maybe New Year's Day. We'll see. We'll figure it out soon. All right, Eric, thanks a lot, my friend, for hanging out with me today. And what time is it there? 7:11. So it's almost bedtime, right?
Oh, yeah, right. I'm not that old, dude.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. We'll talk to you soon.